Have you ever noticed that whether it's a Christmas story or just a really well-known story, that would you say in those stories the details matter? They do. The details do matter. I mean, I noticed new movie out that's based on Moby Dick. It has come out. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not. Amongst other movies, I've heard of a few others coming out. Star Trek, is it a new Star Trek coming out? Yeah, a new one of those coming out. That was for you, Alan. Come on, baby, what you got? I get more mic time. But anyway, so the details matter. They do, especially for Star Wars guys, the details matter. But, I remember reading Moby Dick when I was younger, long time ago. And I'd forgotten certain elements of it, and the way it was presented, the new movie is based on a true story. I'm like, really? And so I had to do some homework on that, you know. And details matter, right? In stories, you know. And I think this happens that whether you're having fun with a Christmas story or movie or a famous old story or new storylines and new movies. And even ancient ones that are attached to days like Christmas. Like what we're going to talk about today is that little story that we all know where these three guys from the East come and visit baby Jesus. And there are details in this story that matter. They're important. But I want to say something to you that's even more important than the details. We can get so caught up in the details, so immersed in the little things that make the that make the story interesting and fun and different, and miss the heart, miss the why, miss the life impact that sometimes these stories are designed to make. And I want to say that that's true about the story of the three wise men or the three magi visiting Jesus. And we'll get to that. The details do matter. And we'll discuss a few of those. But I want to say to you that I want you to ask a different question today. And it's one that we ought to say to all stories, maybe all stories of life and humanity, but definitely of stories that we encounter in Scripture, which is a real simple question. Hey, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you saying? What purpose is this story in the history, but how is it impacting my life today? How is it changing me? How is it shifting my thoughts from, and we've been talking about gifts a lot, how is it shifting my thoughts about what we know as gifts to what you're really trying to portray as gifts? Okay? We've been trying to have a real talk about gifts, and I want to continue that, and what better story in the Bible to talk about the impact of gifts than the one with the Magi. Now, I want to cover a few other details before we continue on about some other things going on. So, obviously, I'm wearing the shirt for the tree deal out there, you know, that's we've been doing for the last several weeks. It seems like it's been a lot longer than that. Kudos to Justice and Tiny for steering us and all that. And yeah, absolutely. Justice had a new family member come out to the party yesterday, and so Jessica's baby was born yesterday, and so he's been a little busy. Tiny's had to go out of town for a graduation of some friends, so we've had a lot of people step up and take role in that over the last few days and over the weekend. We actually have a gap tonight. If anybody can help, we have one volunteer for this evening from 5 to 9. So if anybody can hang out at the tree lot and help out tonight, that would be great if you're able. If not, we can shut it down around 5 and enjoy the rest of the evening and what you have going on. There's just a lot of people got stuff going on tonight. Another really cool, important detail about today is last Sunday I challenged the church to give 25 trees to Buckner families. As many of you know, the idea behind the connection with Buckner is to have a local impact. A percentage of all the tree sales go to help Buckner families. It goes straight to them and the mother new single mom's village that's being put in. It'll help that programming and those families. Okay, so I'm excited about that. But also, we started talking to the Buckner folks there, and that the 105 families that are being sponsored for Christmas this year through Buckner, they don't have Christmas trees. And so I brought that up last Sunday if you weren't here, and had a challenge of 25 trees. We had 28 donated last Sunday. All right. So thank you all for that. We've met that goal. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. We do still have 92 trees left. This is where a detail that matters. Okay. I've already been asked the question, what are we going to do with leftover trees? My statement is we're not going to have any. All right. And I need some help to pull that off. Okay. You don't want a lying pastor, right? So help me out with that. Lots of other detailed questions of how long we're going to keep telling trees. And I said, my goal was to be done Tuesday, as in this coming Tuesday, the 15th, when we deliver the 28 trees to the Buckner family. Speaking of that detail, I need 5 to 7 guys that are willing to help me Tuesday night to drive to these homes and deliver these trees. Okay. So if you have either time or a truck or both, trailers will do too. I could use a little help Tuesday night. I don't know the exact time, but if you're willing to help me deliver those trees to those homes, those families, basically a lot of those don't even have cars. They need some help getting the stuff home in the trees. So if you could help do that, that's this Tuesday evening, okay? Now, again, all the details matter, but the heart behind whether you want to talk about selling the trees or our good gift guide that we've been talking about over the last few weeks is to be alongside God in this great story of encountering a very needy and very hurting and, let's just say it, a very lost world. There's a great conversation I heard several years ago, and some of you have heard me say this before. If you already have a relationship with God, if you already know Christ personally, why do you think you're still on the planet? Because at this point, like, you have an eternal destination and an eternal relationship. Why are you still here? I mean, we could be like Enoch, which would be a cool deal, just one day just taken up to heaven. I volunteered to God. He said no. All right. Well, at least not yet. But so we're here. You and I are still on this messy planet surrounded by some interesting things, some darkness, some craziness, lots of sin, lots of temptation, lots of pressure. Why are we still here? And I would say to you that one of the reasons that why we're still here is to experience exactly what the Magi experienced that day. As they encountered Christ, they had a specific personal reaction. And that personal reaction not only encountered God with some really interesting things and how they responded to Jesus, but they also went back to their homelands, and I guarantee you, based on the reaction of when they saw the Christ child, they went back with life-changing stories. And I really believe that one of the things that our world is so consumed by, and I will just say I'm consumed by, is that there's a lot of distractions, especially at Christmas time, okay? So let me ask you this question real quick. How easy is it for you to focus on why Christmas even exists? Like, for example, this old idea of Christmas is because Jesus came to earth. He put on human skin and took on all the human challenges and took on all the human pressures and temptations. And he left perfection and he approached us here in this messiness. And so in the midst of that real story, and obviously details matter as Jesus comes and encounters us, I think one of the reasons that we are still here is that he set us an example of pursuing people even in the midst of the mess. The why Jesus question. And I would just say to you, it's hard to focus on that at Christmas. Anybody feel like there's a few distractions out there? Anybody? Man, golly. It could even be this word gifts, right? Anybody distracted by, like, the shopping experience, you know? Thank God there's online shopping. I'm just telling you. You know, I'm excited about that. I can be done. A few clicks, send it. I'm done, right? And then there's other things, though. I mean, whether you want to talk about Christmas parties, and some of us are doing that this evening. You want to talk about the travel. You want to talk about family expectations. And you know what I'm saying? You know, anybody else feel some pressure behind that? The distractions are everywhere. And they're not all bad. They're definitely not all evil. You know, giving gifts to each other is not a bad thing, right? Going to Santa Land, All right? I mean, we still like that, sitting in that line. I don't know about that, but whatever. Have y'all seen I-20 lately at night? Ooh, man, I don't know that I'm going anymore. I mean, the Christmas movies, I love Christmas movies. I really enjoy that. Nothing evil about that. But it's almost like on any given front, whether you're watching something, you're going to something, you're hearing something, you're singing something, you're at school, you're at work, it's like constant distraction. Where's Jesus in this deal? And so when we're getting into this very specific story about these three guys coming from the east, more than likely these three magi or these three wise men are from either Yemen or Iraq, Iran, or Turkey. Okay, they're coming from that, the east side. They're Persians, we know that. And they come to a Jewish little town, and they're not Jewish. And they hear this story, and they're focused on what? The prophecies? No. Are they focused on the history? No. Are they focused on all the little details, even the star? No. All of those could be distractions, but they all hone those guys into the person of Christ. I think we need this kind of focus. So let's read this together and have a little fun together. Talking about a story again that we all know. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him. When King Herod heard about this and that these guys are coming and why they're coming, he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. Okay, so just real quick detail here, because this is important so far. So you have these hired, basically scientists, and I know people want to call them different things, but magi back then are scientists. They're studying how the natural world is interacting with humanity. And one of the things they often studied was stars. So a new star is in the sky. And we could get caught up in the detail. Was it a planet? Was it a new star? Was it a star got moved? You could get caught up in that. But I'm just going to tell you, and that's fun, but let's stay focused here. Okay, so a new star, these scientists are seeking out because they've heard a prophecy. So there's this religious prophecy about God coming to humanity when the star is in the sky. And we're going to read the prophecy here in just a minute out of Micah 5. Okay, so as this prophecy comes true, so you have this belief system and this science thing happen all at once, and you have these people that are hired guns by kings to go seek out new information, new experiences, and bring it basically back to them. But this wasn't just an info-seeking trip. We need to understand this. Because we could get caught up here and say the star this and the King Herod that and where the wise men were from and all that kind of stuff. But King Herod didn't know this had happened. Neither did really, in essence, Jerusalem. Now, okay, back then, especially back then, Jerusalem was the religious center of the world. Well, that still kind of is, right? The temple was there, though. The Holy of Holies was there. God lived in the Holy of Holies. If you want to encounter God, you come to the outer courts, you go through a priest, you give them you do a sacrifice, you confess. They take that into God, in the inner Holy of Holies. And this concept of Bethlehem and Jerusalem, now I've been to both. Jerusalem's a mega city still today. It's a beautiful city, incredible place. Bethlehem, it's a little kind of small town on the edge. It's about a 15-20 minute drive. It's less than a half a day walk, even for these magi. So they went to Jerusalem. They actually kind of went around Bethlehem, probably. And they went to Jerusalem and then went down and down to Bethlehem. And as they encounter Herod and they encounter all the people of Jerusalem, they had a reaction of being disturbed. They're worried. Why? This is a really important question. Why are these guys worried? Maybe their distractions have become their focus. And maybe God in the bod visiting the earth is going to disrupt some of their norm. Can I say something about Christmas real quick? Maybe God in a bod ought to be a lot more of our focus but it probably will disrupt some of our other concepts of Christmas. It probably will at least change it if we really focus on him. So when King Herod heard about it, he was disturbed. All Jerusalem was disturbed with him. And he calls together all the people's chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he asks them. He doesn't even know this prophecy really well. These foreigners knew the prophecy, but Herod didn't. You know, Herod was a religious leader. Herod was a political leader. Herod knew a lot of the law, but he didn't even encounter the truth of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. So he calls them all together and he asks them what the prophecy was. Where was he supposed to be born? And they say, this is in quotes, in Bethlehem in Judea. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Now, as we read this prophecy, again, we can get caught up in the details, but I want you to hear God's perspective of what's going on here. Okay, so let's read it. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. So there, we know that there's all these leading people and leading cities. Okay. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people, Israel. Now, this is really interesting. You took a title called ruler and you take a title called shepherd, and it's all in the same person. I would say that's not true, not just in our world, but not true in their world. You don't, what do shepherds do? They do what? They watch sheep, animals. Okay, they are in that world kind of the lowliest of the jobs. So to say that that person's a ruler, that doesn't work, doesn't fit, doesn't match. Okay, and not to speak of that the religious rulers of the day, when they talk about the coming Messiah, the coming king, they're looking for a kingly kind of guy. They're looking for somebody to come to Jerusalem and rule with a sword, not a shepherd's staff. So this whole idea that he's going to Bethlehem and Herod calls the Magi secretly and says to them and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. So he's getting his research done. Herod's doing what a lot of us do. Oh, so that's what's going on. Let's get on the internet. Let's seek out new information. What's the prophecy says? What's the timeline? We do all this homework on the details, and guess what Herod doesn't do? Gets caught up in the details and how it might impact him and his power, but he doesn't allow the story to change him. He doesn't allow it to focus him. He sends them to Bethlehem and says, go and make a careful search for the child. This is also what we as often humans do. We go to pros. We go to other people. We ask other people to do the research for us. We allow other people to give us information. We like to read blogs. We like to read online stuff. We like to read other people's perspectives, even scholars. But do we individually encounter a God that is coming to seek and save those that are lost? Do we encounter a God that says, I will send my one and only son? See, here's the deal. Go and make careful search is nice. And he says, as soon as you find him, come back and report to me. So this is just a knowledge-based thing. This is just information. It wasn't allowing, the information wasn't being allowed to change Herod or even the scholars of the day. But the Magi are different. Here's how I know. When they not only know this Old Testament prophecy in Micah 5:2, they allowed that prophecy to impact not just their mind, but it changed their actions. They were prepared. They were ready for when God did something, they were ready to move. These are outsiders. These aren't even Jews. It's almost like in our world where it's oftentimes that it's the outsiders that really value freedom, not Americans. It's almost like other people in the world understand the value of friendship and the value of relationship and the value of family when they don't have that. So here's these outsiders that don't have the Messiah in their lineage seeking out one that could change everything in their personal lives. This story has to be encountered not just in the details, not just in the what happened and when it happened, but who made it happen and why. It's almost like the Magi knew this, and here's the proof. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, let's pause for a second. And I just want to encounter us for a second about this so far. They're not even in the room with Jesus yet. They're about to be. That they're not seeing the child. And we all know that they came with gifts. We all know that the gifts matter. And we're fixing to read some of the details about the gifts and understand them. But before you encounter Christ and in his presence, there, with these guys at least, there's already an understanding of joy, as in a sense of my life is different because of who I'm about to spend time with. There's a sense of joy here, not just duty, not just work, not just research, not just another scientific exploration here. They had joy in their hearts. And as they come from this far off place, right before they walk into the room to hang out with God and Abad, it's my favorite title for Jesus, by the way. As right before that's happening, there's just this overwhelming sense of joy. And can I just say something about Christmas? Joy is not just when we sing our favorite song or watch our favorite movie or eat our favorite, you know, whatever Christmas food we like. Now, that's, you know, there's some satisfaction in those things. Joy is a condition of heart and soul. And it's not about happiness. It's not about having a full belly or an entertained mind. It's about a station or situation or placement of our heart and soul. And joy came from them and towards Christ as they walk in the room. They saw the star, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Now, they are hired guns by Persian kings. They go see King Herod. They go through another king. And here they are. By the way, they didn't bow down to Herod. Not that we know of. But here's a baby in the mama's arms, or a young child. By the way, we could get caught up in the details here, because there's all kinds of fun conversations. Was, you know, were they still at the manger scene? Probably not. So were they at a house in Bethlehem? Maybe. Were they at a house in Nazareth where Joseph and Mary were from? Maybe. Or were they actually still in Jerusalem because they took Jesus to go through, you know, all the Jewish ritual stuff with the boy child? Were they there? There's all kinds of debate. And I would just tell you, no matter what it was and where it was and even when it was, if you get caught up in those details and miss the heart of this, the story doesn't really matter. Here's what matters. They came into a house. They saw Jesus, no matter how many of them were, by the way. Okay? They come in the house. They see him. And instantly, they take on a position of humility. They go to their knees. They, in whatever ways that culture bows, they bow down. Most in that culture, when they bow down, they put their foreheads on the ground. And so they are taking a complete position of humility to a baby. And it said at that point, they worshiped him. I don't know if that's in song. I don't know if that's in quoting some ancient prophecy in scripture. We don't know. But it's more about the condition of their hearts and their minds that they are humbling themselves before him and worshiping him. That's pretty different. That's dealing with distractions. You got King Herod. You got money involved. You got stars in the sky. Distraction. Him. They are focused on the very person of Jesus. So they come to the house, they see the child with Mary, they bow down, they worship him. Important that it's a specific focus that they are worshiping him. They open up their treasures, their gifts, and they present them to him. And we know those gifts have special meaning. You have gold, that is a gift that you give to kings. There's two kinds of things that you give to kings. You have taxes and you have honoring gifts. These are not taxes. These are coming with blessings to him and his family. And when you give gold to a baby and their family, it's because you're recognizing him as royalty. Then you have this other gift called incense. And if you read other versions, they call it frankincense. Frankincense is used specifically by priests. As you're walking into a time of worship, specifically as you come in to give sacrifice, frankincense or incense is burned to encounter God. So you have a gift to royalty. You have a priest that, you know, a gift that could be used by a priest. And then you have the myrrh. And again, we could get caught up in all the details of this, but we all know that myrrh is used to prepare for funerals. It's what they used in ancient days for burial preparation of the body. So you have a king that's getting a baby, getting king gifts, getting priest gifts, and getting prep for dying. The details matter, but more than anything, what was on the heart and mind of these magi? They were there to give gifts to the baby that mattered, that made a difference. We'll come back to that in a second. So they present those to him and his family. And having been warned in a dream, God speaks to them in a dream not to go back to Herod. They go back home. They go back to their country with this incredible, not just story, not just true story. They go back home with this encounter of God. I'd love to hear the rest of their story, wouldn't you? I would love to see the sequel to this in their lives. I would love to know that. We don't. But a real encounter where you're humbling, worshiping God. I mean, consider their reactions here. Consider they're dealing with the distractions around them. They were overjoyed. They bowed down. They worshiped him. They gave Jesus gifts that really mattered. How do we react to Jesus? How do we participate in gift giving? Like either the Magi gave to him, and then let's go bigger on this. The whole thing was a big gift giving experience. God giving to us. So that we could have life to the full. And these guys giving back gifts that matter. So how will we do this? How will we honor Jesus this Christmas with our very lives? How do we encounter God with? I mean, let's just be honest. The story's kind of old. And I don't mean old as in time frame old. I mean, it's kind of just another, it's like watching 24 hours of the Christmas story on TBS. I mean, can you do that for more than one time, maybe twice? It's just kind of getting, yeah, I know this story. You know, it just kind of comes and goes. And I'm not just talking about the Magi story, but the Christmas story, the whole thing. Yeah, we enjoy it. Yeah, it fills our guts. It fills our minds. We have a few good moments with family, but let's just be honest. Then we go back to the first of the year and back to work, and maybe we ought to have some new goals, and we talk about what we should do different. Here's what we should do different. It's allow the very encounter with this person named Jesus to change everything about us. Let him give us joy. And in the midst of that, humble ourselves and worship him in truth and go home with a story that changes lives. Not that just tickles ears. Not just that says, yeah, I had this experience one time with God back when I was a kid. No, it changes me daily. As we wrap up today, and I ask some interesting questions in the Bible app if you've been following along, are you able to deal with the distractions of Christmas to really focus on Jesus? I think how you handle first of the year goals matters how you handle this situation. Distractions are everywhere. So maybe the details here about two questions would be good for us. Number one, what do you give God, a God that has everything? What gifts can you present to him? What you got? that is going to, like, appease God. Yeah, you know, no offense to money, no offense to time. What do you have in and of yourself that you can present to Jesus as one that wants to humble yourself and give him gifts that matter? I would say the scripture gives us a couple of really important hints. First of all, let's not forget Jesus' words, if you love me, you'll obey me. Obedience does matter to God. Let's also talk about setting aside time and money and talents to really make a difference in this world. And last, let's talk about this idea of why Jesus came in the first place. Remember what he said? That I ain't come for those that have it all together. I came for the hurting, the sick, the lost, seeking to save, serve and not be served. These are the words of Jesus about himself. And so when we consider these truths, that while we were still sinners, that he came to this life and died for us, as we encounter that truth, how do we pause and honor him? And the second thing is a really important statement by Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you do unto the least of these, what's the rest? Done unto me. Hey, friends, if you really want to give God a real gift, no offense to giving gifts to your family and friends that are expected. How do you really encounter those that have almost nothing? I've had a few experiences with this week, last month, last year, and for about the last 20 years, God has seen fit that I get to encounter some people that have almost nothing. Sometimes Alan and I kind of laugh about how God does that. And so it's really interesting to me, whether you want to talk about these kids in Bethlehem that we're doing the tree lot for and the Buckner families, that the goal is not to sell trees, friends. I was talking with a couple of the guys out there with me last night in the rainstorm. We were having a good time. And they said this to me, man, most people really miss the joy of being out here together and really understanding that this is not about trees. And I'm not trying to give a commercial for that as much as I'm saying that when you encounter people that have almost nothing, sure, you can give them some Christmas gifts, some clothes, and some food. You should do that. But really, the two things that they need the most is to know why you care, which means you need to give yourself, and mostly you need to give this story. That when you encounter Jesus, you are overjoyed, that you humble yourself before him as he is your king, and you desire to daily give gifts back to God. And so I pray today that as we go right into this Christmas next few weeks, I know we'll be divided and distracted and going to see family and friends and going different ways. And I'd love to have you here on Christmas Eve rejoicing with us with family and friends. Please do that if you can. But if not, I pray that each of us are focused on the person of Christ most of all. And may that change us personally and individually. And may we take that true story and make it real in us and share it in such a way that the world is new and different. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to discuss the details of this great story. But Father, may we not get lost in the details. Where the kings are, where the magi are from, or how far they walked, or what day they met Jesus, or where Jesus was at, and where the star was from, and what happened afterwards, and what King Herod did. All those are great parts of the story, but they're not why the story was told. And Father, in the midst of this, you find these three men, at least three, maybe more, maybe less. But these three gifts that are represented, Lord, encountering, giving to you as a king, as the priest, as the one that was willing to die for each of us. So, Lord, we come to you today and saying we want to give gifts to you. Speak to us, O Lord, your Spirit. Speak to our minds and our hearts. Make us new Help us to see and to focus on the Christ that makes Christmas real and different this year. May we also take that love, that forgiveness, that mercy, that compassion, and pass that on to others in our world that are in need. And Lord, ultimately, may we give you all the glory for that and take none for ourselves. And it's in Christ's name we all say, amen.